Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Let us pray. And in the silence, we bring before God our own failures over the past week, asking for his forgiveness and for strength to amend our ways. And so we confess. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Generous mercy, sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love. Grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The first church Paul founded in Europe was at Philippi. Some years later, from prison, probably in Rome, he writes warmly to his friends. Despite his circumstances, and sometimes a longing for his life to end, he believes he can still be useful to God. Let readers then keep faith against all their adversaries. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. For to me living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. And I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving by side and with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This well-known parable of the generous landowner helps us to understand how God gives us not what we might earn from him, but more than we could ever desire or deserve. In the kingdom of heaven, there are no rewards, only grace for all. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to Christ our Lord.
kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the labourers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And so they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the labourers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not fair. It's not fair. How often have we heard those words, or even used them ourselves? It's not fair. And when we hear those words or say those words, for some reason or other, the tone of voice changes. We say it perhaps in a sense of exasperation, louder, more aggressively, "It's not fair." And we can think, can't we, of so many situations in life when those words are used. Let it be amongst children for the allocation of sweets, or whatever it may be. Let it be something has happened at school and the teacher may inadvertently have looked at the wrong person. Let it be perhaps at work. Something has happened involving a work colleague. Let it be even with medical results, news coming in. Or let it be for any other reason. It's not fair. And we can empathize with those words because that is exactly what we are hearing in today's gospel reading. Picture the scene. The landowner had to get different people to come and work urgently and quickly. There was a crop to gather in. Weather conditions would change quite rapidly, and there was no time to waste. And there we have lots of different people all going and gathering in the marketplace. They were desperate for work. Why? Because they had families back home and they had to provide for them. And so they would go out early in the morning to the marketplace, and the landowners would come in and would hire people to come and work on their land, on their vineyards, in their farms. This started early in the morning. And you can just imagine what must have been going on in the hearts and the minds of those people who would leave home not knowing whether or not they were going to get work, but they were doing what they felt was right. They were presenting themselves in the marketplace for landowners to come along, hoping they were going to be chosen to go to work. Landowners would come, invite people to go off to work with them, and they would accept certain terms and conditions. Yes, how the HR people would love that. And off they went. But what about those who were left? What must have been going on in their minds? They could have been saying, it's not fair. Why hasn't he chosen me? I've got a family. Who's going to look after them? It's all very well for those people here who've gone off already. They're going to be earning some money. They can provide food for their family for a few more days. But it's not fair. As the day went on, the landowner realized he needed more people to come. More work had to be done, and time was of the essence. And what does he do? He goes back again to the marketplace. And what does he find? He finds more people are there, including some of those who had not been hired early in the morning. They were there. Why were they there? Because they were hoping that the landowners were going to come back, and maybe second time round, they were going to be given the opportunity of work. They were waiting desperately. Remember, in the heat of the day, in the marketplace, more people were called, and they go and they get to work. And on two more occasions throughout the day, as the hours are going by, the landowner returns and gets more people to come. How pleased they must have been. Their waiting was not in vain. They were there. They hadn't gone home. They waited and they waited and they waited. And now, even though the afternoon was well underway, morning was past, afternoon was now in, they were having an opportunity of work. How grateful they were for that sense of privilege and that sense of opportunity. And all was going well until the landowner came to talk about money. Why is it within people, once you start to talk about money, you can see perhaps a side of people's personalities that are not very good and may well fall short of Christian principles? And money was raised. Those who came at 9 o'clock in the morning thought, yes, we have worked all day. How good we are. We've borne the heat of the day, given a really good day's work, and surely, when you hear that word, surely, you get worried. Surely, we're going to get more than those people who came late on in the afternoon. That was their expectation. And sometimes, you know, the higher the expectation, the greater the fall. We've all had, haven't we, situations such as that. We've had expectations for something, and then it doesn't just work out in the way in which we hoped or planned for, and my goodness, it is a crash. Well, the landowner, he was the one who hired all these people, wanted to go about it in a way the early workers hadn't envisaged. All of them, no matter what time of day they commenced their employment, were going to be getting the same amount of pay. And we saw what happened. They were furious. It's not fair. It's not fair. And now we have the workers are now saying, it's not fair. And the landowner gets quite firm. And he points out very clearly, are you cross because I'm being generous? Did you not agree? Those immortal words, did you not agree, are now coming back to those early workers who had the privilege of coming to work early. And remember, they didn't have the stress of waiting and waiting in the event they might get an opportunity second, third or fourth time round. They're now furious. Let's think of ourselves for a moment in the midst of this parable. It's lovely, isn't it, when people are generous to us? But what about when those same people are generous to other people? In our company, in our families, in our organization, in our work, in our schools, or wherever we may be. How do we feel then? Because we can then be saying, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. Those people who were there until well into the afternoon, before they had that sense of opportunity of employment, were rapidly losing their self-esteem and their self-worth. Self-dignity was now well deflated. Why were we not good enough to be hired at 9 o'clock in the morning? What's wrong with us? And we too, don't we, maybe go through such a set of analysis in our own selves. If we are kept waiting for something or something doesn't work out, why? What have I done wrong that I haven't had that sense of privilege like the others have had? How do we support such people in the midst of our own lives? What do we do? What do we say to offer a sense of pick-me-up, a sense of encouragement, a sense of hope in a situation of darkness? Are we a bit like the priest and the Levite who recognize the need, oh yes, how good we can be at that, and then pass by spectacularly on the other side because we are busy with our own little agenda? How often do we adopt the Samaritan approach to be there to do what is right and what is necessary in a situation of need? Question mark. An opportunity for perhaps self-analysis. Losing dignity, losing self-worth, is actually very difficult and very hard to take on board in the midst of successes going on all around us when we are in that set of circumstance or situation. When I was rector of St. Ignatius Church in Carriduff, many years ago now, we had an opportunity to offer support in a particular way that was completely embraced by both myself and the Select Vestry. I got a telephone call one day from Hyde Bank, and the request was very simple. Rector, we are preparing a number of the inmates for release back into the community in the months to come. And we are looking for opportunities to re-engage and reconnect the inmates with the community before their release date comes. We're asking for the help of your parish to assist. Are you willing? It didn't take long for the parish to respond in the positive manner, because what they were offering was gardening support and tidying up of church grounds. And I said to them, there is a particular aspect of St. Ignatius Church in Carriduff in the grounds that is completely overgrown, completely full of moss in the pavement stones, and it would be just terrific if that would be something you would consider and we can help each other. That said, day after day, day after day, the inmates came, those who were ready, preparing for release, to work on the church grounds. And the area they were working in was the area where there are benches in a round circle shape where people often went for private devotions and reflections at different times of the day when they were just passing, just for some quietness. And as the rectory was situated in the grounds, I could see all of this happening. When that work was done, it was done to the highest of standards that gave blessing to so many parishioners in their own spiritual well-being and giving an opportunity to connect once more. That landowner gave those people who were left waiting and waiting a sense of esteem, a sense of importance, a sense of value, and recognized their situation and gave them hope. We are all challenged, aren't we, in that gospel reading, to treat people fairly and equally. Not favorites, not giving to one and not to another, but to do what we can with our resources in our homes and families, in our church, in our community, to ensure that we have equality and that we have fairness. And that gospel reading comes at a time that really shakes us. Maybe to refocus and reset priorities to do better. In other words, to have a love of God, yes, and a love of neighbour, reflected in equality and in fairness. That landowner was offering that. Yes, there was grumbling all around. But when we come to God, and it doesn't matter what stage in life we come to God at, the important thing is that we do come to God. God treats us all equally. What a message. What an example. Now let's get on with it and let's work to it. Equality in all things. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed is most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us pray.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. In the Anglican cycle of prayer today, we pray for the Episcopal Church in Southeast Florida. Renew the life of this diocese. In the diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray today for the parish of St. Mary's Cumber, for their rector, Jonathan Barry, and for all who live and work within that parish. Bless Harold, our bishop, and build us up in faith and love. As we pray for our team in St. Columba's and all those who contribute to the growth and development of our parish, we pray especially for Evie Rose Greer, who will be baptised later today. We think of the effects of the hurricanes in the Caribbean and Florida, and the earthquake in Mexico this week, the impact on people, their homes, and their livelihoods. We give thanks for the help and assistance given by the emergency services. medical teams, the armed forces, and so many who have helped in their own way. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace, and bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. In these days of political uncertainty in Northern Ireland, and with tensions surrounding Brexit, we ask you to guide our political leaders and those with the responsibility for finding a way forward. Help us all to listen and respect the views of others in our modern world, where so often our Christian values are challenged in daily life. May we treat each other in whatever we do with greater equality, fairness, and respect. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Within our community, we think today of those starting university, and we ask for your blessing on those leaving home for the first time. We thank you for all the opportunities that we have in our local community. May you strengthen our connection with schools and businesses, helping us to reach out to our neighbours, and through our participation in the Beat the Street, may we work together and think of others. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends, and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need, and deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression. We pray this morning for all those on our parish prayer list, and those known to each of us who are sick at this time, especially baby Ella. We also remember all those who are anxiously waiting test results. We give thanks for the medical staff who work so hard to provide care. And in our local community, we think of the Marie Curie Centre in Kensington Road and the care that is given there. We also remember this morning those who are bereaved. And in our parish, we think of Esther Templeton and her family following the death of Roy. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit, in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand for the peace. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
How can I repay the Lord for all the benefits he has given to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Father, almighty and ever-living God, At all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. Look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we have received these tokens of your promise. May we, who have been nourished with holy things, live as faithful heirs of your promised kingdom. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
It's a great delight to welcome a number of visitors to St. Columba's this morning. And if this is your first time with us, I hope that it has been a time of blessing and of support for you, each in your own circumstance and situation, and that you would be willing to come back to us again on future occasions. The doors are open and all are welcome Sunday by Sunday. I want to thank all those once again who work so hard for our parish hog roast and barn dance, and I'm delighted to say that the amount raised after expenses was £2,300. And that was absolutely magnificent as we all enjoyed a wonderful evening of fellowship, of fun and good crack. So thank you to everyone for your support. The October Columbans are available for collection this morning. Do please collect your copy and also perhaps take an extra one for a neighbour or for a friend, someone that you would like to see our magazine and to encourage them. There are always spare copies every month for that purpose. Next weekend is our harvest weekend, and the church will be decorated from 10:30 on Saturday morning. And gifts of items for decorating are very much appreciated. Flowers, fruit, vegetables, and many other items as well. And if you can also assist with the decorating, you are very welcome. There's always a good team, but new members are welcome to enter into all of the aspects of decorating as we come next Sunday to thank God for all his blessings to us. There will be coffee in the rectory for all the decorators, to offer sustenance and support for the ongoing work. Please note next Sunday, the service will be at 11 o'clock, just for next Sunday, followed by harvest lunch in the church hall. And the catering committee are working really hard with all of the catering, along with those who are helping with the catering. And there are tickets at the back of church simply for numbers only and for catering purposes only. So if you can come, please take a ticket. And on the day, it will be voluntary donations for the hall refurbishment fund. The preachers next Sunday are going to be, firstly, the Archdeacon of Connor, Dr. Stephen McBride, who is the vicar of Antrim Parish. And then for choral evensong at 7, Canon Michael Parker, the rector of St. Gall's, Carnoulie. Our last hymn is very powerful, and hymns are chosen many weeks in advance. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And as we reflect on this service, on Holy Communion, and on the readings and the prayers, let us enter into this hymn with full enthusiasm. And may we leave with those words in our own hearts to live and work to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 597.
Thank you.
peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, Amen.